Good morning from WVIK News in the Quad Cities. I'm Joseph Leahy. Infections related to cyclospora are rising in Illinois and Iowa, and state officials say they're likely part of the national outbreak. There have been 184 cases confirmed in Iowa as of Thursday. That's compared to 61 cases reported at the same time last year. The Illinois Department of Public Health reports more than 500 confirmed and probable cases of the intestinal disease. At least 39 people in Illinois have been hospitalized. The national outbreak in 9 states has been linked by the CDC to contaminated iceberg lettuce from central Mexico. A lawsuit from several environmental groups claims the Iowa DNR failed to enforce federal regulations for coal plant leachate in Ottumwa. Iowa Public Radio's Rachel Kramer has details.
Leachate is a contaminated liquid created when rainfall percolates through a landfill or stored waste. The Iowa Environmental Council, Environmental Law and Policy Center, and Sierra Club say it pollutes Iowa's groundwater and waterways and poses health risks to communities. Their lawsuit is based on federal limits set in 2024, which require facilities to stop discharging leachate as soon as possible, but no later than December 31, 2029. The environmental groups say the permits issued by the DNR include no timeline to comply. The lawsuit also alleges Interstate Power and Light Company, the owner of the coal-burning power plant and landfill, ignored feasible treatment options and did not justify water quality degradation. I'm Rachel Kramer, IPR News.
One person has died following a car crash in Dubuque County on Monday morning. According to an Iowa State Patrol crash report, an 81-year-old from Cedar Rapids died after their 2022 Ford Escape crossed the center line on Highway 52 around 10 a.m. yesterday. That caused a head-on collision with a 2017 Ford pickup truck. The driver and two passengers in the truck suffered minor injuries and were transported to a nearby hospital. The identity of the 81-year-old is being withheld pending family notification. A new report identifies challenges to agricultural diversification in the Corn Belt and policy changes to make it easier to grow different crops. Iowa Public Radio's Rachel Kramer reports.
The report stems from focus groups, interviews, and surveys with farmers across Iowa, Illinois, and Indiana, where over 90% of crop production is dedicated to corn and soybeans. Paige Fauci is with the Nature Conservancy, which is involved in the diverse Corn Belt project.
Farmers are frustrated. They want other options, and those options are just, they're just not there in a meaningful way right now.
Jay Arbuckle, a rural sociologist at Iowa State University, says diversification can improve soil health and water quality and increase profitability while supporting local food systems. The report identifies some of the barriers to diversification, like crop insurance, which is geared towards commodities, and opportunities like tax credits for small and medium-sized fruit processors. Arbuckle and Frauschi made their comments during an Iowa Farmers Union webinar. I'm Rachel Kramer, IPR News.
Johnson County supervisors are looking to write a data center ordinance before a local moratorium ends in November, and they want it to be the strictest ordinance they can legally defend. Some supervisors are interested in a permanent ban, but legal counsel says that likely wouldn't hold up in court. Assistant Johnson County Attorney Lynn Rose advised supervisors that the issue is also bigger than Johnson County.
Linn County entered its own temporary moratorium. They were very specific that the reason for that moratorium was because of the regional impact that they have on resources, workforce, infrastructure, all of those things. I would read that as an invitation to collaborate.
The economic development group Greater Iowa City is creating a new board of stakeholders, which will try to consolidate a regional approach to permitting data centers. A daytime shelter in downtown Rock Island has seen a steady increase in people seeking to cool off amid the dangerously hot weather. WVIK's Brady Johnson reports many took shelter during Monday's weather advisory.
Director and co-founder of the Third Place QC, Christy Adamson, says nearly 100 people visited the shelter during the extreme heat warning. The facility has helped keep residents cool despite a vandalized window earlier this month.
The total cost actually was paid for by our property owner. However, I think it was just over about $1,500 that they had to spend to replace the two panes of glass.
Currently, the nonprofit is looking for donations of socks and men's t-shirts and shorts. Updated lists can be found on the nonprofit's website and Facebook page. I'm Brady Johnson, WVIK News.
And this is WVIK News.